Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so grateful and so thankful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to be with you another week's past and to be with you with Mission from the Heart Radio. It has been a trying 3 weeks. I have been under the weather, don't know what I really had, but I thank God for his healing power, hallelujah, and I thank God that I've got a voice to be able to continue to just minister the word of God in all its simplicity and just expose the word of God and just explain and expound on the word of God and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today we are going to have a blessed time. Many of us in today's society have given thought to death. And death is something that a lot of us don't want to speak about. This is a subject that most are uncomfortable talking about. But the Bible brings comfort to those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Redeemer, Savior, and Lord. As a child of God, death is a blessing. According to the Apostle Paul, death belongs to us. Apostle Paul put it this way, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And that's Philippians 1, verse 21. So I want to focus on the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 15 is going to be our focus, verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to look at verses 20 through 28. And we have the blessed assurance of resurrected bodies and a house in heaven, not built by hands of man. So our topic tonight, our lesson topic tonight is up with the sun. And that's not rising early in the morning before the sun rises, S-U-N. This is up with the Son, S-O-N, and of course we know him as Jesus Christ. And I want us to look in depth at this particular chapter in 1 Corinthians. So get your Bible, your tablet, or your phone, and grab some paper, and let's just go to the table of grace that we could eat the bread of life, and drink of the living water tonight, that we get a simple understanding of how we are up with the sun. So I want to thank you again for your faithfulness to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray and hope that you would share this ministry with others in your circle. We connect on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, or at least the ministry's on Twitter, and I just want you to be blessed by this ministry. So let's pull up to the table and let's look at what God promises us as children of light, as his children, what he promises us. And we have a blessed assurance, and let's look at that blessed assurance in Scripture. One little thing I did read, and I just thought this was food for thought, that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone on one man fulfilling what was done on the cross. This definitely was arranged by the founder of the world, and we know him as God the Father. Jehovah God, he arranged this. And one of those prophecies that kind of popped out was, or it's in Psalm 69, verse 21. And listen to what it says. And it's just one out of many, because there's over 300 prophecies. And Psalm 69, 21 says this: "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And this is in the Psalms, prophesying what they did to Jesus on the cross. And that gall, G-A-L-L, is poison. And in one translation, the New Living Translation, it translates that word gall as, "They poisoned my food, and when I was thirsty, they gave me vinegar." And that's what they did to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just, that was just a food for thought for a prophecy that popped out at me when I was listening to some of my studies and doing my digging as I prepare for the program. And I just thought that was just interesting to know that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone concerning one man fulfilling what was done on the cross. He is risen. And we just came off of Resurrection Sunday, and I just think that every day is a day that should not go by concerning what Jesus did on that cross for all of humanity, and that we take a hold of that in intimacy with him, knowing that he covered our sins. So let's look at what the scriptures say concerning 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 1 and read accordingly. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation, and it says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel." Now, this is Paul reminding the Corinthian believers concerning the gospel. "I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me whether then it was I or they, this is what we preached, and this is what you believe. And then we're going to move to verse 20 and pick up there in verse 20 and read, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. And we're going to stop right there. And we'll pick back up in verse 35 and read onward. Let's just do that while I'm still reading. And I'm in verse 35, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will die, but just a seed. Perhaps of wheat or of something else. Verse 38, but God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds, another. And fish, another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another. The stars differ from star in splendor. So, will it be with the resurrection of the dead? The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And we're going to move down to 54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that it is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. And what I like in that last verse. I love to say this, only what you do for Christ will last. Never forget that. Only what you do in Christ will last. Now, that's amazing. That is assuring to me. So let's back up, if you will, to verse 1 in chapter 15. So I hope you're following me, but I want to give you some simplicity to up with the sun. And it's a promise. And one of my first points concerning this, and just looking at the scriptures, and I hope some of these things popped out to you. In verse 1, Paul says, I want you to remember. Well, this is what God wants us to do, is to remember. Don't forget. Remember. And then Paul says in verse 1, he says, remember. I want you to remember you of the gospel. I mean, remind you of the gospel. I'm sorry. I want you to remember or remind you of the gospel, just depending on your translation. I preach to you. This is what we are to remember. And then he says, you received on which you have taken your stand. Now, what did they receive? And what are they to stand on? He put it plainly, the gospel. Look at verse 2. By this gospel, saved, if you hold firm to the word I preached to you. So this is what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus, as Christ followers. Never forget the gospel. Never forget the gospel. And we are to stand firm because of the gospel is what brought us salvation. We have a right to the tree of life, according to Revelation. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, remember, over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament alone of one man fulfilling what was done on the cross by Jesus Christ. So we aren't to forget that as believers in Christ Jesus, the gospel. And then in verse 3, verse 3 and verse 4 is the gospel. And I'm going to show you in verse 3, it says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. This should be important first in our lives as believers in Christ Jesus. And he says, he went on to say that Christ died for our sins. Now, this is the gospel in verse 3 and 4. If you can get the gospel down pat in your Christian life, how many souls can be won to salvation? He says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and then he appeared. And verses 5, 6, 7 indicate that he appeared, he appeared, he appeared. Now, my point for today's lesson is up with the sun is a promise. But in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, we are to remember that we are to proclaim the gospel. My first point is mouth. Just for your note takers, take down my points for this lesson, up with the sun. First point being mouth, the mouth. second point being life, our life. Third point, and my last point, is future, our future. These are the three points. And these points are clearly in the text, 1 Corinthians 15. First point being the mouth. Paul preached. Another word for preach is proclaim, proclamation. That's a point. We are to proclaim the gospel by mouth. Some of us are preachers. Some of us are teachers. Some of us are evangelists. Some of us are missionary. Some of us are prayer warriors. Some of us are just very good listeners. And we are to proclaim the gospel. Now, the gospel in one sentence, remember, don't forget, remember the gospel. How can we proclaim the gospel? All the gospel is in these particular sentences or verses is the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Incarnation, born through a virgin. Very simple. Incarnation. The next is crucifixion. He was crucified on the cross. Paul said that in verse 3. Jesus, the Christ, died for our sins. Don't forget, he told them. We aren't to forget. We are to proclaim this by mouth. Tell somebody of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, born through the Virgin Mary. The crucifixion on the cross. He died on the cross to cover our sins. And then the resurrection. He got up from the grave. You see that in verse 4. And he was buried, that raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. The resurrection. The bones are not in the grave. Muhammad's bones are in the grave. We know that. Buddha's bones are in the grave. But Jesus Christ rose from the grave. He got up and he appeared to over 500 people, according to the scriptures, as we read on. That's resurrection. So we've got the proclamation by point one being our mouth, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. That's the gospel, the ascension. Incarnation of Jesus Christ. Born through the womb of a virgin. The crucifixion. He was crucified on the cross. Blood shed for our sins. The resurrection. They buried him. And he got up on that third day, according to the scriptures. And he ascended. And in that ascension, he sits on the right hand side of God the Father. And what is he doing for us in that ascension? What is he doing for every believer as he sits on the right hand side? He's our high priest. He's our intercessor, according to Hebrews chapter 8. Make that note. So we've got the gospel. And what makes the gospel? These are the things that we should remember. And don't forget the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ through a virgin, the crucifixion that he died on that cross, his blood shed for our sins, the resurrection. The grave couldn't hold him. He conquered the grave. He got up on that third day. He rose. We sing about that. and then the ascension. He ascended and sits on the right-hand side of the throne of God. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us. He's our intercessor, praying for us. He's our high priest. He is our mediator as we make our petitions known. And then he's our advocate. He's advocating. He stands for us according to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. Stands for us, advocating for us. He's our lawyer, if you will. And he's there building us a home not made by hands of man. He is building us a home as we work in the vineyard. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his harvest. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 2. The work is plenty, but the verse talks about praying for us, the laborers. So much work for us to do. The more work that we do as believers in Christ Jesus, we send up building material to heaven. That our high priest, Jesus Christ, will build us a house not made by hands of man. I just find that to be so assuring, so blessed for us. Again, let me recap. First point being mouth. Proclamation. What are we proclaiming? The gospel. According to Paul to the Corinthians, he said, I want to remind you of the gospel. Don't forget it. Remember it. And that is our petition. That is the call. We are to remember the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if you could flip over to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. Let's look at what it says in 1 Timothy 2. Chapter 5. And it reads this way. First Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in its proper time. He, Jesus Christ, gave himself a ransom for all men. And we are to testify of that. I love the scripture, let the redeemed say so. We are the redeemed, and we are to say so. Say so about what? The gospel, the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Those four make the gospel. Now, you can put it in your own terms. You can paint the beautiful picture of the life and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, but just don't forget. Remember. Now, this brings me to my second point, and we're going to look at life. Now, we already know that the mouth we have, we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, that's what we are called to do. And we know who the gospel is about, Jesus Christ. And we know that the gospel is incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. And the reason why I'm going over and over of these particular words is so that you can get them in your spirit, that you make it so simplistic for yourself to not forget. And it become a lifestyle for us to know that he ascended and he intercedes for us. And he advocates for us. And he's building a house for you and me. Amen. So let's look at our second point. Life is our second point. Now, according to verses 5 through 11, as I've read, becoming more like Christ through the Holy Spirit. Now, this is our life. And the word associated with this particular point, life, is sanctification. Now, we've talked about proclamation. Now we are looking at life, sanctification. And you can put that word in parentheses next to the second point. Life, sanctification. And let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. And what I'm going to do is read it in a different translation. It's the CEV translation, and that's the Contemporary English translation. I love to have different ones to help me get a deeper understanding of the Word of God, because I do not want to be ignorant to what the Holy Spirit wants me to learn and understand and grow in wisdom. So I would encourage you to do the same, and it just helps deepen your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Romans chapter 5, verse 3 reads this way. Now, I'm coming from the CEV translation, and I'm going to start with verse 3. Well, let me just go ahead and read verse 1. By faith we have been made acceptable to God, and now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Talking about life. Sanctification. Christ has also introduced us to God. God's undeserved kindness on which we take our stand. We are happy as we look forward to sharing in the glory of God. Verse 3. But that's not all. I love it. That's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope, in verse 5, that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with his love. Now, that's amazing. That is awesome that he gave us the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with his love. And, of course, you know this kind of love is not this Hollywood love. It's not this man-made love. It's not this love in the world that some of us view as commercialized. It is a love that the world does not understand. Agape love. And we love in spite of. We love. And this kind of love covers a multitude of sins. So this is a love that differs, but this is our life. Sanctification. That means we have been set apart, sanctified. And look what Paul says in verse 10. Now, we're going to back up and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's focus on verse 10. And I read it earlier as I was reading through the verses, but let's look at that again. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at verse 10. And it says this, and I love what it says. I love how Paul puts this. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's just stop. Let's just rest. Because in this NIV translation, it has a comma there. We are to pause. And it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, let's focus on that. Now, this is our life. We're talking about life. And I love, he says, but God, in some translations. But God. And some of us know that to mean, but God changed me. If it had not been there, would I was one messed up sister. I was one messed up brother. My past is terrible. It doesn't determine my future. And Paul said, verse 10, underline that. Some translations may say, but God, but he says it. I of God. I am. We know Paul killed Christians, persecuted them. And he thought he was doing right, but there was remorse. There was pain as he reflected on what he used to do. He didn't live in the past, but he reflected back, and he was bold enough to say, and I could just imagine him standing there saying it with his head up, I am what I am. And then he went on to say, and his grace to me was not without effect. And God's brand new mercies on us and his grace every day on us, it had an effect on Paul, as it should on us. We should be happy concerning our lives. We should have a testimony to tell somebody about our life and how we have been sanctified, set apart, cleaned up from the inside out because of the gospel. The incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. These are important ingredients in our life as a child of the Most High God. That we should never forget the gospel, because our life should determine that. Our life should live out that we are sanctified, just as Paul said in verse 10, justified, justification, declared not guilty for our sins, according to Romans 4, verse 25. Make note of that. We are justified. That declared us not guilty for our sins. Jesus, on that cross, And then it brings us salvation. Salvation because of what he did on the cross. Salvation is our gift. Believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee will bow, shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. That is awesome. Because of his willingness to go to the cross, crucifixion, and he got up, the promise, resurrection, and the ascension, that is our joy. That is our blessed assurance to know that we are up with the Son. Now, when we have been sanctified through salvation, sanctification, set apart, now we got to go to work. And our life should have a testimony because of the gospel proclamation, and then we go to work. Now, what do I mean by go to work? Now, remember, we are not saved because of works. We're saved because of grace. We believe by faith, and we are saved by grace. Let me rest right here, and let me stop and just pray. And if you would pray with me, brothers and sisters who are listening to this program right now, if you would bow your head and humble your hearts for just a moment, because I do not want to move any further, assuming that everybody who's listening to this program on the World Wide Web or online live, that I do not want to assume that they are saved. So I want to rest right here. And we are going to say a prayer of salvation, that somebody would give their life to Christ. And if you know somebody who's close to you that you're just not sure they're saved, pray for them. Pray that they would come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior in all humbleness of heart and intimacy with a hunger and a thirst. So let's pray. And if you would bow your head for those of you who are listening who may not know for sure that they are going to, if you are going to ascend and not descend. Let's stop and pray right now. Your heart, these words. Oh God, I am a sinner. I am lost. I need to be saved. I know I can't save myself. So right now, once and for all, I trust you to save me, Lord. Come into my heart, please. Forgive my sins, Lord Jesus, and make me your child. I give you my life. I will live for you. As you give me strength to do so. Lord, I need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I hope that you've prayed with me, brothers and sisters, as we touch and agree to intercede and pray and bring somebody along to be into the family of Jesus Christ as we extended the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those of you who prayed with all humility and humbleness of heart, welcome, welcome, welcome to the family of God. And I pray that you find a Bible teaching church that teaches the gospel and be filled with the Holy Spirit and that you get in a Sunday school class or a discipleship class, that you will grow and go and preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So welcome, and brothers and sisters, thank you so much for us coming together in like mind. We just went to work. We just went to work, praying and interceding for others. Praise the Lord. And as we go to work, we should have in our poster, if you will, our belt, in our memory, or in tattooed on our heart, the Romans Road. Most of us are familiar with the Romans Road in that language, and the Romans Road helps others, just as we've prayed, helps others come to know Jesus with intimacy and sincerity and love in their hearts, with compassion and tenderness. And Romans 3:23 is a road, and Romans 6:23 is another piece of the road. Romans 5:8, another piece of the road, and then Romans 10:9-10, which we've prayed, is another piece of the road. So I hope you get these verses and share them with others in your circle, on your job, or just as close friends and relatives. And I challenge you to ask God to give you a test that you can proclaim the gospel to someone. And if you aren't living a sanctified life, ask God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to clean you up from the inside out so the fruit of the Spirit would shine forth, come through you. And we know that fruit of the Spirit to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You find that in Galatians. Those are just some of the fruit of the Spirit. And once you proclaim the gospel, live a sanctified life, you tell a testimony and go to work with the Romans Road in your belt or in your pocket or in your Bible or even in your memory, we have one last point, and that's future. Now, this is the beauty. Now, this is the blessed assurance as children of the Most High God, is that we have a future. And you put this word in parentheses. We've already said point one being the mouth, proclamation. Point two being the life, sanctification. Point three, future, glorification. Proclamation, sanctification, glorification. And let's look at verses 20 through 22, and then we jump down to verse 35. So 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to look at 20, verse 20 through 22. But Christ had indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. That's a promise. So let's look at verse 35. And we're looking at our future, glorification, heavenly body. And let's focus on verse 40. Verse 40 says, there are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. Now, let's just look at this in a very simplistic way. Through Adam, as we read in verse 22, through Adam, we had death. It says all died. Through Adam, death. Through Christ, life. Now, what did we have through Adam? Sin, disobedience, judgment. That's what we had. Separation from God. Sin, disobedience, judgment, and separation from God. But through Christ, hallelujah, we have life. And what do we have through Christ? We have rescue. Amen. Righteousness. Relationship with God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I like that. Eternal life. Obedience. Deliverance. Grace. That's what we have through Christ. Let's look at Romans 5, verse 12 through 21. And I'm going to, again, read it in the translation CEV. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. Now, everyone has sinned, and so everyone must die. Verse 13, sin was in the world before the law came, but no record of sin was kept because there was no law. Yet death still had power over all who lived from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. This happened, though not everyone disobeyed a direct command from God, as Adam did. In some ways, Adam is like Christ, who came later. But the gift that God was kind enough to give was very different from Adam's sin. That one sin brought death to many others. Yet, in an even greater way, Jesus Christ alone brought God's gift of kindness to many people. There is a lot of difference between Adam's sin and God's gift. That one sin led to punishment, but God's gift made it possible for us to be acceptable to Him, even though we have sinned many times. Death ruled like a king because Adam had sinned, but that cannot compare with what Jesus Christ has done. God has been so kind to us that He has accepted us because of Jesus, and so we will live and rule like kings. And I'm going to, verse 18, everyone was going to be punished because Adam sinned. But because of the good thing that Jesus has done, talking about on the cross, God accepts us and gives us the gift of life. Adam disobeyed God and caused many others to be sinners. But Jesus obeyed Him, hallelujah, and will make many people acceptable to God. The law came so that the full power of sin could be seen. Where sin was powerful, God's kindness was even more powerful. Sin ruled by means of death, but God's kindness now rules And God has accepted us because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This means that we will have eternal life. Now, that's Romans 12 through 21. That is a promise. That is a promise. Sin ruled by means of death, but God's kindness now rules. I love it. And God has accepted us because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This means that we will have eternal life, glorified bodies, heavenly bodies, according to the scriptures, perishable to imperishable, perishable brought decay. It brought decay, natural, weak, sickness. But imperishable, transformed, eternal, never weak, never sick. So this old body, this old house that we live in has leaks. It has foundation problems. It has a roof that leaks, a window maybe out, talking about our bodies now. And some of those windows are called arthritis. Some of those rooftops that leak is called cancer. Some of that is even called depression. Some of that is even called anger. But when the body is laid down, that perishable body, up with the sun. He rose, we rise. And we have a new body, a glorified body, a body that is never sick, a body that is never weak, a body that is eternal, and a body that is transformed. Hallelujah. And that makes me not be afraid of death. I heard it this way by a real good Bible teacher, Adrian Rogers. He said, death belongs to us. And death does belong to us, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 22 and 23. Read that and allow it to prick your heart. Allow it to be a panoramic view of your promise. Psalms 116, verse 15, solidifies that. And even in Philippians 1, 21, Paul put it this way. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We gain so much from death when you're saved now. And that is our promise, up the sun. And to close this program, it has been such a rich lesson. It just blessed me in so many ways that I just didn't have the words to say. All I could say was, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And he blessed me. And I hope this blessed you, too, to know that we are up with the sun. And that's not S-U-N, that's S-O-N, and his name is Jesus Christ. We just celebrated that last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, but every day is Resurrection Day. And we are not to forget, proclaim the gospel, live a sanctified life, and always know that the promise of your future glorification, it's that new body, it's that heavenly body, it's that transformed body, that eternal body, that body that's never weak, it's never sick. Death is a blessing for those who are saved. Don't forget that. And don't be afraid. And in closing, and I just thank you for hearing this program, and I pray that you revisit this program. If you didn't get all of the notes, you can listen to this program 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, by going to blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, and that's the number 2, heart-to-heart, M-F-T-H, means mission from the heart. And you can revisit this program. Hallelujah. I thank God for technology when it's used in the right way, and that's to bless others. I want to leave in this closing verse, verse 58 in chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, I added that, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know and I know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Always remember, the grass withers and the flowers fade away, but the word of God, the gospel, stand forever. God bless you, and thank you so much for being a faithful listener to this program, to this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio. I pray that this was a blessing to your soul, and thank you for praying with me and welcoming others into the family of grace, into the family of Jesus Christ, and that you would go and have a blessed week and take that challenge. And ask God to open the door for you to proclaim the gospel. Remember, it's the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. You get that down pat, you got it. And allow the Holy Spirit to just move you in a way to where others will come into the family, and that we will all celebrate when we get to heaven. Oh, what a wonderful day. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and continue to seek and hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ. God bless you, and good night.